Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. This is a quick look we've put together for you, parents, teachers, anyone helping kids make sense of the news. We're diving into the articles your students are reading today in The Juice app.
Right.
So let's jump in. First up, an article called Prerex, New Species of Tyrannosaur Ancestor Found in Museum.
Yeah, this one's cool because the discovery wasn't out in the field digging up new bones. It happened in a museum in Mongolia.
Mm-hmm. They looked again at some bones they thought were from a different dinosaur, Electrosaurus.
Right, but a PhD student, Jared Voris, and his advisor had a hunch. They studied these fragments, the jawbone mostly, and realized it was something else entirely.
Something new. An ancestor of T-Rex, but living like 20 million years before it. They named it Kankulu mongoliensis.
Which means Dragon Prince of Mongolia. Pretty neat name. And it was smaller than T-Rex, maybe 1,600 pounds compared to, you know, T-Rex's huge size. Probably faster, too.
So it suggests these giants started smaller, a real shift in understanding their evolution.
And the big point here for discussion is how looking closely at things we already have, like in a museum, can lead to big discoveries. It's not always about finding new stuff.
That's a great angle. Asking kids, you know, when has looking closer at something familiar changed how you saw it?
Or even talking about the names Dragon Prince versus King. How do scientists pick names? What can a name tell us?
Okay, let's shift from ancient bones to ancient wisdom. Next article. Ecuadorian historian turns to myth to combat drought.
This is fascinating. It's about a historian, Gallo Ramon, in Ecuador dealing with serious drought. He looked into local history and myths for answers.
Myths? How did that work?
Well, there's this myth about Turo Kango, Kango the bull, linking rain to specific grasses and lakes. Ramon found an old 1792 map showing lagoons above the city.
Connecting the dots.
Exactly. It led him to rediscover an ancient water system built by the Paltas people. They use these natural land dips, fill them with water and grasses, creating sort of natural sponges high up.
So they slowly released water to feed springs downhill year-round. Clever.
Very. And it's a solution using ancestral knowledge, working with nature, not requiring huge modern projects.
So a discussion topic could be, how can old stories or traditions hold practical knowledge that's still useful today, like problem solving using the past?
Yeah, or brainstorming other ancient practices, maybe in farming or building,
yeah,
that we're rediscovering now.
Okay, from ancient ingenuity to a very modern, very large display of affection, farmer finds outsized way to tell wife she's his sweetheart.
Ah, yeah, this one's fun. A wheat farmer in Kansas, Jesse Blassie, wanted a big gesture for his 20th anniversary.
And big meant using his entire field.
Pretty much. He used computer software way back in October to plant it. He planted three different types, different colors of wheat.
How did he do that precisely?
It's called multivarietal prescription planting. Think GPS-guided seeding. He planted over 320 million seeds across a mile to spell out Jesse plus Sarah 20 years.
Wow. And his wife Sarah saw it from a plane.
Yeah. She said, you know, farmers often show love through acts of service, but this was, quote, a little bit extra.
That's amazing. It combines tech and agriculture in such a creative, personal way.
Definitely. So you could ask kids, how do people use technology creatively today to express things, feelings, ideas, art?
And maybe talk about the time and planning involved. What does that effort say about making something meaningful? All right, shifting tone now to a site of remembrance. The next article is Florida LGBTQ plus nightclub mass shooting site to be converted to memorial.
This is about the Pulse nightclub site in Orlando.
Yeah.
The location of the terrible mass shooting in June 2016, where 49 people died and many were injured.
Right. And the plan is to create a permanent memorial there.
Yes. A $12 million project funded publicly and privately. The club itself will be torn down. Construction starts 2026. Opening plan for 2027. Families recently visited the site.
Very sensitive. The article mentions a quote about feeling closer to a lost loved one by visiting.
It does. And it notes that the memorial aims to balance remembrance with resilience. Plans include gardens, a reflection pool, a tribute wall.
A place for reflection, as the commissioner hopes.
So a key discussion here is why communities build memorials at tragic sites. What purpose do they serve? For memory, for healing.
And that idea of balancing remembrance and resilience, what does that actually look like in a memorial? How can a space show both sorrow and strength? Important to stick to the facts here, of course.
Moving on to the global stage. U.S.-China make peace on trade war for now.
Okay, this is about the trade tensions, particularly the tariffs that started under the Trump administration.
Right, tariffs are basically import taxes. It became this back-and-forth, a tit-for-tat situation between the U.S. and China.
With specific controls, too, right? Like on rare earth metals from China and some U.S. tech exports.
Exactly. Things like materials for phones and software, jet engines. So this article says, after a call between leaders, negotiators in London reach some kind of consensus.
A tentative deal to de-escalate things.
Seems like it. The specifics aren't totally clear, but both sides signaled an agreement. Though there's a quote suggesting lingering distrust, like, not all the water spilled can be returned to the pot.
Yeah, rebuilding trust takes time.
So for discussion, what are tariffs? How do they impact trade? Why do countries use them?
And that trust issue. Why is it hard for countries or people to trust again after a big disagreement? What does it take?
And finally, we have the quote of the day.
Today it's from Frederick Douglass. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will.
A really powerful quote from an incredible figure. Douglass, who escaped slavery, became a major abolitionist, writer, orator, fighting for rights and equality.
A true advocate. His life embodied that quote, really.
Absolutely. So you could explore with students, what did Douglass mean by demand? Can they think of examples where demands were necessary for change?
And what does it mean to be an advocate like Douglass? Why is that role so important, especially when fighting for justice?
And that wraps up the articles for today.
Yeah, quite a range. Dinosaurs, ancient water systems, farm field art, memorials, trade talks, and powerful words from history.
Hopefully this quick run through helps you kick off some good conversations. Lots to think about in each piece.
Absolutely. Use these as starting points and see where the kids' curiosity takes them. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Happy conversing.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.